Hello, and welcome back to Hip to Be a Square podcast, your place for things quilty and geeky. Today is Friday, February 16th, 2018. I am feeling much better. Thank you for bearing with me through the tech fail and then subsequent rapid illness. I was sick for, well, probably a total of 4 days that I was just wiped out. Starting Friday night, I was like, I'm just laying down on the couch. And then my husband didn't even realize I was there. And all of a sudden it's 10 o'clock. He's like, are you okay? I didn't know you were even on this couch. I was like, I am not good. And I thought, well, I should get up and feed the cats and go to bed. And I stood up from the couch and immediately felt dizzy and gross and nauseous. And that did not bode well. And then Saturday and Sunday was just me, like, sitting in the recliner staring into space, which is unusual. Usually I get kind of twitchy after half an hour doing that. And I was just like, I do not have the energy to lift my arm. So I took Monday off of work. I took part of Tuesday off, like just took a nap in the middle of the day, basically. Like, I'm done. And then I had to go in the office Wednesday and Thursday because we had some of my coworkers in town I needed to meet with, and then, but like got home and was just wiped out and could do nothing. And then felt better last weekend. Have had a bit of a cough still, which is irritating, but not dire. It's not keeping me up at night at least, but when I talk a lot, I find I need to cough. So I will probably pause here for a minute to cough some. I have also tested the stupid microphone setup to make sure that this is actually recording in a manner that is reusable and not weird robot voice, which is what happened last time. So far things are looking up. Okay, so having said all that, there was my illness rundown. I'm feeling better. In a lot of stuff been happening in quilting world. We had the big announcement this week about Free Spirit and Westminster that are getting shut down effective immediately, and you know, no more production after beginning of May. So Lynn and I recorded a somewhat spontaneous mini talk show episode. And, you know, from our filming schedule, we filmed two episodes a month at one time. And we just filmed literally for the episode 313 and 314 that are dropping end of February and middle of March. So if we waited to the next time we record, episode wouldn't drop until end of March. And that would be a month later. And that felt ridiculous. So we just hopped on Google Hangout last night and recorded it, and I noticed my computer freezing some during it, which was not great. Not a fan of that, but, you know, seemed to go okay. And that may be something we do as there's more spontaneous news. You know, we've gotten requests from people to post talk show episodes more often. Honestly, we're maxed out at two episodes, fully produced episodes, which are the ones with us behind the table and the quilt hanging behind us, simply because I still need a weekend, frankly. We would have to film two times a month. And honestly, we're kind of at a point where we just run out of topics. Like, I got nothing new. You know, the one topic that we have lingering out there that people have requested us talk about is quilted apparel. And she and I, neither one of us have anything really to add to that because it's not something we've done. And we both have this fear if we would start talking about it and it would come out as if we are, because it's not something we do, that it would come across in a disparaging way. And that's not what we want. So it's one of those like, oh, this needs some more research. And we need to find out more about, like, aside from you should use a natural fiber for your batting and not a cotton, like use a wool or something lightweight. You know, we don't have much to say about it. And the benefit of getting to run some of these fabric giveaways that we do. Speaking of, there's a giveaway for Ombre Stitches Fat Quarter Bundle from QT Fabrics going on now for another couple days. So enter that before, I would say, the 21st or 22nd of February 2018. That's over on the Stitch TV show blog. Anyway, one of the ways to enter that giveaway is to leave a comment on the blog with a suggestion for a show topic. And the last batch we got kind of carried us through to right about now, and now we are officially out of topics again, aside from this whole quilted apparel. So fortunately we've gotten some new topics in, which is good. We've gotten a lot of requests for us to review books, which I don't know fits quite with the formal talk show format, but then maybe like a Pam and Lynn do book club night, like we'll do a Google Hangout format for it. That might work. But the problem is, like, Lynn buys a lot of books. I don't buy many books. So it's going to be Lynn giving a lot of thought about books and me going, huh, how about that? That's a book. So we gotta work through that request too. So I had a feeling there were other things I was going to talk about. Oh, so from the lost episode, last episode 2 weeks ago, I was going to talk about my Instant Pot, and I don't think I did on the final, but I got one for Christmas. In fact, I bought it for myself and then made my husband wrap it and said, "You're getting me this. Thank you. What a thoughtful gift you've gotten me." And when I pulled it out and pulled out the recipe book, and I'm like, "Oh, look, a recipe for clam chowder." He said, "Can we make that?" My husband loves clam chowder. We live a good 200 miles from any coast. There are not clams laying around here for us to go make fresh clam chowder. But I said, sure. So I, you know, looked up the ingredients and followed the recipe, and it turned out pretty good. So the benefit of the Instant Pot, it is a computerized pressure cooker. So it eliminates all of the potential for your pressure cooker to blow up in your kitchen, which is one of the reasons I never had one before. So I do like it. I haven't used it in a couple weeks, but it's been very good. It will cook frozen meat, and really the bigger difference there, I will say the recipes for the Instant Pot, they may say, like, cook chicken thighs in 8 minutes. Okay, that's true of actual cooking time, but there is the time that it takes the pot to get up to speed, so it's not like you dump the stuff in the pot and then 8 minutes later, there's cooked chicken. You need to account for kind of the pressure building time. And if you're starting from frozen, it takes even longer for it to come up to pressure. So when you're reading all these recipes about like 8 minute chicken thighs, just know that that does not account for the time for the pressure to come up or for the pressure to release, because sometimes you have to let it release naturally. And sometimes you like toggle this really intimidating vent that just shoots out a lot of steam to release the pressure. And then you need a special tool, AKA a spoon, to flick it so you don't burn your hand on all the steam that shoots out immediately. So anyway, Instant Pot, recommend if you don't mind having another appliance in your kitchen. It's very good for soups and stews. You got to be careful with making rice in it because it can make it kind of gummy and soft. And I have not yet made yogurt. I have no plans to make yogurt in this thing. I don't quite get the appeal of yogurt from scratch. I suppose I could see it if I ate a lot of yogurt, but I don't. And maybe I don't eat a lot of yogurt because I don't make a lot of yogurt from scratch. So it's this whole not a literal chicken and egg. Regardless, a lot of people love it for making their own yogurt. I am not those people. The one thing I do want to try that I haven't yet, I got these sous vide or like mock sous vide egg bite trays. So Starbucks, at least here in the U.S., I'm not sure internationally, serves these sous vide egg bites. And it's basically like a tiny omelet, but like bite sized. The equivalent of, you know, one egg with some fixins, as we say in the South. So like some bacon bits or some sausage or cheese or something in there. So it's like a protein rich kind of bite. And I have the silicone container to make some. I think it makes 1, 2, 3, 6 at a time. And I can fit another tray in there, but I didn't want to go crazy with the trays, not having tried them first. So I need to do that. I might do that this weekend. And have those as like a healthy snack alternative for when I pack my lunch for work. Or just for breakfast, honestly. So I'm excited to try that. But yes, Instant Pot, 2 thumbs up. Clam chowder recipe, pretty good. Need to cut my bacon smaller for that. But it did turn out good. So, let's see. What else did I want to talk about? Oh yeah, maybe I should talk about quilting. Just a little bit. So, let's see, last weekend I got my 2 tops put together for the Bonnie Hunter on Ringo Lake mystery quilt, And the reason I have two tops is that I didn't want to make one big top, so I made two smaller ones. So the pattern that she did called for 50 blocks, and you can break that up into two tops of 25 blocks apiece. Now, I did have to make 8 extra sashing pieces, or strip sets, I guess, and 6 extra setting triangles, and then 4 extra corner setting triangles. So not a ton of extra work to do this. And the reason is, you know, the colors I chose were ones that I had a lot of in my stash, and I wanted to adjust and kind of take down the amount of baby blue, basically. It was like a light to medium blues that I don't use a lot now. So I wanted to use those up. I had a soft green, kind of a bunch of those that I wanted to use. And then I ended up using light gray for my background instead of a white. And then for where she had orange, I had a yellow solid. Actually, I used two different yellows, one for the sashing bits and some of the center, and then a second one for the bigger half square triangle pieces. So I got all my bits put together, got two tops, and got them sandwiched. I have one of them quilted, and I need to bind it. I might work on that tonight. I meant to do it last night, and I forgot. Well, to be honest, I fell asleep because I was exhausted, but I will try and bind that tonight. And the other one I've got sandwiched and ready to quilt. And then I have another quilt for donation that I put together, and it was leftovers from a rainbow jelly roll. And I sewed them together, not end to end, but I sewed them kind of in one big panel of jelly roll strips. And then evened up the edges and made two cuts across the jelly roll strips, and then took that middle section and rotated it so the rainbow goes in the opposite direction. And then I sashed it with some like 3-inch finished gray sashing, like a solid gray, to just set it off nicely. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to quilt that yet. I would love it if I had a variegated rainbow thread, but I don't. So I might go with just a gray thread to kind of tie it all together. And I might do loops in some of the jelly roll strips, or I might just do an overall design. I think it would benefit from some texture. So I might do like big flowers. It's kind of speaking to me right now. Now, when I sit down to quilt it, that might completely change. We'll see. But I think because the piecing is so linear, I want to soften it a bit with some curves, and I don't want to just do meander. I think I might do big flowers. I have also been working on my chair cover. So I Instagrammed kind of a mystery picture of a bunch of 2-inch teal squares sewn together into kind of a slab that measured, I think, 10 by 15 or so. And we've got these chairs, like kind of collapsible bar chairs, bar height, for us to use in remote filming opportunities. And we're trying to do one in August for our Stitchiversary. So we got these on our trip to IKEA. Lynn and I each got one. And I said, great, we can make chair covers and then pretend like they are director chair covers, you know, with your name on the back. So that's what I've been working on there. So I wrote my name, or I signed my name with kind of a thick black marker. And then I scanned that in and blew it up and used that to create an applique of my name in my handwriting. And then I have our actual TV logo from some Spoonflower printing we did. And so that's what's on the back of my chair cover. And then the front, I just took a piece of teal fabric that coordinated with the back and just did some spiral quilting on it. And I need to make that cover and finish it up. So that's all quilted and kind of ready to go together and should be good to go. Now, I also have been designing the latest quilt pattern for us, which is super fun. And I finally got the layout right, where it is kind of cheeky, but also works as a modern quilt without being completely obvious. And it's for the In Deep Ship line from Ink and Arrow QT Fabrics. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited to get started on that. And I need to work on that this weekend. Oh, so that's the sewing projects. I'm like randomly looking around. I have also been working on my new Leader and Ender project. I have a bunch of 2-inch green squares that I'm sewing together into 4 patches. And I don't know what these are going to turn into, but I think it'll tie into my Twilter Bee that's going on this year. So my month is June. I got a while yet to work it out. But I think they're going to tie into that. Now, I am also using my strips that I've cut for Scrappy Trip Around the World blocks and making some Scrappy Trip Around the World blocks, as the title suggests. So it's just 6 strips of fabric that measure 2.5 by 16.5 inches, and kind of sew those together into a slab, and you press the seams alternating directions. It's actually a tutorial from Bonnie Hunter's website. And so I am now just making these blocks to put together into some charity quilts. And I divided my strip sets up into kind of 2 groupings. I have light neutrals, and then I have everything else. So all the colors, any dark grays, browns, any of that stuff. So I was originally going to try and do a checkerboard where I alternate a light and a dark strip. But I think now I'm going whole hog in on all the dark strips sewing together. So it's very color rich. And then I will probably do a calmer, low volume version out of the lighter strips. And I think that'll be a good contrast. And then I can pick like 1 focus color for some pop and add that in a border. Or I might just hoard all of these Scrappy Trip Around the World low volumes and save those for me, because I really like that look. We'll see. So that's what's actively under the needle. I have a feeling I finished something recently that I am completely forgetting. That could very well be the case. So, in terms of books I have read, there have been a lot. When I wasn't just staring off into space, I may have read a lot of books. Like, oh dear, a lot of books. And now I can't even remember what I talked about before. I'm just going to start from Margaret Goes Modern by our very own Frances Dowell, fellow podcaster. So that is her collection of short stories. Embrace it, love it, enter the giveaway for it on Bonnie Hunter's blog. Quite good, as expected. We would expect no less from Frances. No pressure. But that was an enjoyable short read. I also read the latest from JoJo Moyes, Still Me, which is the Me Before You 3rd book in the series. That one was a little different, I think, because it's like, oh, heroine goes on new adventure. And then through series of misunderstandings with people in her life, like, stuff falls apart. So I enjoyed it, maybe not as much as the first book, because it's this book still about how this woman is still struggling to move on. And at a certain point, I'm like, you should probably move on. So that part I think was frustrating. So my frustration is not with the writing or the crafting of the story. It's with I think this character made dumb choices, which I don't know you can fault the author for, because of course it's her invention, but I will say that was the one detractor for me, of like, really, you can't get your stuff together? Let's see. I also read straight up somewhat kind of trashy novel from, so my daughter's best friend's mother also is a reader, and she and I sometimes swap books and recommendations. And this is The Wife Between Us by Greer Hendricks. And this is, it's kind of alluded to in the same vein as Gone Girl and kind of those mystery of like, ooh, scintillating lady thriller. And it was enjoyable. And there were twists that I didn't see coming, which I appreciate. And after you saw the first twist, you're kind of like, oh, I get where this is going. But it was well done. There were unexpected twists. You know, that being said, is it sticking with me? Not really. It's, again, like more people that need to get their life choices together. But an enjoyable read if you just want kind of like a light, somewhat trashy kind of book. I am actually going to pause because I have to go pick my children up for tuba time. So I'm going to pause here. I will be back later tonight to finish this up. I wanted to get some of this done at least before tonight, so I'm not super tired. But I will be back, for me, probably in a couple hours with the rest of this podcast and book recommendations. But for you guys, it will be momentary. So hold, please, and I will be right back. Alrighty, so I'm back. It is now 7 o'clock at night, hours later. But hey, I remembered to finish the podcast, so that's something. So we left off in the middle of book reviews. So the next book that I finished, and here's the reason why I've been reading all these books, not just because I was laying around feeling like I was on my deathbed, but also because I saw my Goodreads challenge numbers and it said I was behind, and I thought, not today, Satan, not today, and kicked it into high gear. So the next book that I read is called Wreckage, and it's by Emily Bleeker, and this is available through the Prime Lending Library, as well as like the Kindle reading program. So I essentially checked it out through Amazon, and I've read a book by this author before, and it's one of those like, okay, is she just trying to shill her books because she's not an established author and she's just trying to get readership? So you never quite know how good it's going to be. But I will say this one was pretty good. It's the story of a plane that crashes and the story of the survivors and what happens. There's a couple twists along the way. So you think you have a feel for like, okay, here are these two people that survived this plane crash are now being interviewed after the fact. But and you're kind of figuring out the real story of what happened, because what they're saying happened isn't exactly the real story. So it's kind of this slow reveal. And there's nothing weird or hinky like in Lost. There's no supernatural stuff or anything. But then you realize like, oh, well, they listed these three people or actually four people, but wait, where'd that fourth guy come from? So you think there's going to be some wacky twist. So that was Wreckage by Emily Bleeker. So the next book is The Little Book of Hygge, The Danish Secrets to Happy Living. And you, not being a native speaker of Danish, I hope I have pronounced that correctly. It is spelled Hygge, Hygge, I believe. And it's sort of the Danish idea of coziness and contentment. And it's sort of like, here are 10 things you can do to achieve this state. And my favorite is number 10, of course, is blankets and pillows and quilts. Apparently number one is candles. Lots of candles. And it's a pretty short book, but I had seen it at the library and wanted to check it out just because I'm like, well, what an interesting idea. So if you are at all interested in how to achieve greater coziness in your life, it's a quick read, worth it. There's some pretty graphics in it that make me think of quilt designs. So worth checking out there. Okay. Then I moved on into the fourth book in the Magisterium series, which is a YA series by Cassandra Clare and Holly Black. And the fourth book's called The Silver Mask. It came out last fall. For whatever reason, I was remiss in not reading it then. But this was a decent continuation in the series. It felt a little odd. And I think maybe it's just because this particular series is going against type. And this continued that. So it was unexpected in a sort of unsettling way. Not in a, what an interesting and intriguing twist, but like, wow, I don't know how I feel about that sort of way. So if you're into supernatural YA series, it's very well written. Like I mentioned, it's a little unexpected. So it's that doesn't make it bad. I think it actually makes it better. But definitely interesting and not like classic hero kind of journey happening here. It's a little different, which I think adds some dimension to it. All right, three more books to go. The next book that I read was by Gail Forman. It's an older book called If I Stay. It's another YA book. It's the, apparently it's also turned into a movie. That's not why I read it. It had just been lingering out there on my wish list for the library, and it was available when I was in the throes of having a lot of time to read. So, this is a story of a teenage girl that gets in a car accident with her family, and it's sort of her perspective as she's in this coma and kind of deciding, is she coming back to her life or is she going to give up and essentially pass on? And I can see where this would be disturbing. And I appreciated the nuanced angles that the author took in terms of dealing with this decision. And what's even more interesting is that there's a sequel, and you're like, well, how does that happen? So, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will say, you know, the treatment was done fairly well, you know, as a YA book. It doesn't get too heavy-handed into the metaphysical aspects of this. It's just sort of like, oh, here's this teenage girl floating outside her body, witnessing other people's reaction to her in this coma. And it was definitely different. Worth reading. I don't know that I recommend it to teenagers. I think it's got, the main character's 16. So I would say high school age. I wouldn't recommend it to middle school per se. Definitely an interesting take, but just kind of odd. All right, finished strong. Two more books. Actually, one was a short story. It is the Patience Griffin, The Laird and I, which is the Kilts and Quilts bridge to the Kilts and Quilts of Hoosendale, and I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly either. So it's a short story that's meant to bridge these two series, because her books going forward, I think, are set in the town of Hoosendale versus Gandigal. So good story, kind of usual formula. It's kind of adult contemporary romance, short story. You know, a good continuation of the series. If you like her writing and the story set in Scotland, definitely check out this one so you can stay up to date as the next book comes out. And then final book that I finished, which I have more complex feelings about, is called Sleeping Giants, and it's the first book in the Themis Files. And it is, I think it's pronounced Sylvain Neuvel. This was his first novel. And it's the story of, it's a young girl that falls into a big hole and ends up landing on top of a giant hand buried in the ground. And so we come to find out that this hand is just one of several giant body parts buried across the globe. And it turns out all these parts assemble to be this very odd giant robot. And sort of the implications of, like, how did all these body parts get buried in the earth? What happens when you bring them together? What does this mean about the state of the planet? And there's some definitely interesting character development that happens here that is like, well, that took a big old diversion right into Crazy Town that I don't know was necessary for the story. Because, like, the concept of giant alien parts being buried under the earth is interesting enough without adding in a layer of really irrational characters. So the layer of irrational characters it's not troubling. It adds more dimension to the story, but I don't know that it helped it necessarily. Like, I think it could have been a good enough story about the unfolding of this scenario of giant buried robots in the earth. So it's kind of like, ooh, that could have been handled better. And the way it's written very similar to World War Z in that it is kind of a series of interviews and letters and diary entries. So it's not a straight narrative format. It's told from the first person perspective of several characters, most of which are sort of this mystery unnamed. Well, I think eventually the person's named, like the person doing all these interviews. You're like, well, who's this dude? Why does he know so much? So you couple the narrative style with the diversion to Crazy Town that a couple characters take, and it's kind of bizarre. It's an intriguing story. I do want to read the second book. I think it's a trilogy overall. So the second book came out last year. The final book comes out in May. So interesting enough that I want to keep reading it, but kind of like, oh, wow, that was quite a twist they just threw in there. So, again, interesting premise, questionable character motives. Not sorry I read the book. So there you go. That was a lot of books that I read. Now I am in the middle of reading a couple others. The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. I will not say the word on the podcast for the sake of anyone with children listening. I am also reading, some book I can't remember the name of. I'm just having a brain fart right now. Oh, Bonfire by Kristen Ritter, who is the actress from Jessica Jones, the Marvel Netflix series. She was also in Breaking Bad. And that one's also interesting. I'm only 20% of the way through it, though, so I'm going to reserve judgment. But, you know, so far so good. So that's what I'm in the middle of reading. And it's definitely interesting. So in the coming 2 weeks, next week you'll hear an episode of the Stitch TV show. Lynn and I are going to be talking about One Patch Quilts and Trapunto. And then after that, you should have an episode direct from me. I'm thinking through my calendar. I am actually out of town that week, but I'll be back by Friday morning and should be able to podcast okay. So I think that's going to be it. Thank you guys for hanging in there and bearing with me as I recover from another stupid sickness. And hopefully I will not be sick again anytime soon. And I think that'll be it. I am going to go try and get some sewing done and enjoy the weekend. And I will talk to you all later. Quilt long and prosper. The opening music is a theme from The Stitch by Big Think Productions, courtesy of Ed and Eddie, LLC. To find out more about the podcast and listen to archived episodes, visit the website at www.hiptobeasquarepodcast.com. You can contact me, Pam, by emailing info@hiptobeasquarepodcast.com, leaving a comment on the website, or by following me on Twitter at PantsFreesia. You can also find me on Pinterest, Instagram, and Flickr as PantsFreesia. Watch my show, The Stitch, online at www.thestitchtvshow.com and follow the show on Facebook, Google+, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest at The Stitch TV Show. Don't forget, it's hip to be a square.